Turn with me this morning, if you would, to John chapter 7. My text will be in verse 37, John chapter 7, verse 37. This morning we'll read a considerable amount of scripture, but that's okay. The scriptures preach much better than I do. Verse 37, John chapter 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, and this is speaking of the Feast of the Tabernacles, according to verse 2, if you'll look up there real quick, it says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And before we go any further here, I want to take just a couple of minutes to tell you something about the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles began 5 days after the Day of Atonement, and it fell at the time that the fall harvest had just been completed. The Feast of the Tabernacles was one of the three annual feasts that all the Jewish males were obligated by the law of God to attend and appear in Jerusalem. This was a very joyous occasion, a celebration, as the Israelites celebrated God's continual provisions for them in the current harvest. And it was also at this feast that they celebrated and remembered God's provisions and protection of them during Israel's 40 years in the wilderness. As you know, that word tabernacle means tent. Israel dwelt in tents in the wilderness for 40 years, and that was typical of a believer dwelling in these earthly tabernacles called tents, these tents of flesh that we dwell in our wilderness journey to heaven, the land of promise. And what a beautiful picture the Feast of the Tabernacles was of the Lord Jesus, who tabernacled in the body of a man. God became a man. You see, that's what it took in order to redeem sinners like you and I. A man must die in our place. Not just any man, but a perfect man. And it was the God-man who did so. The day of the Feast of the Tabernacles was a day where many sacrifices were offered. It's referred to as the Great Day of the Feast. And it pictures the offering and sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the Messiah, who was to come to save his people from their sin. And I find it so amazing that the one in whom this feast pictured and typified had already come and was among them, but they didn't even know it. Verse 11, it says, then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? They were not seeking Christ to worship him. They were not seeking him to honor him. That's obvious from the very next verse, verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he's a good man. And others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. And as we can see from reading this, there was a division among the people concerning Jesus Christ. Now back to verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Verse 40, and many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. And others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? And look at verse 43. So there was a division. A division among the people because of him. We live in a day where religion is rampant. It's widespread. It's uncontrolled. It's unrestrained. There are so many churches. I remember years ago when Teresa and I lived on the north side of town, we counted the churches that we could just see from the highway that we drove on through town. I think it was close to 30. I didn't count all the churches on the back streets that we couldn't see. Today there's so many denominations, so many religions, so many divisions. Not only are there Baptist church, but there's First Baptist and Second Baptist and Third Baptist. There are General Baptist and Missionary Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Conservative Baptist, Independent Baptist, Landmark Baptist, Liberty Baptist, Primitive Baptist, Reformed Baptist, and Southern Baptist. And then in addition to the Baptists, there are Catholic and Methodist and Presbyterian, Lutheran, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Mormon, Jehovah Witness, Episcopalian, and the list just goes on and on. There are religions of Judaism and Christianity and Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism, and some I can't even pronounce. I recently read an article that claimed that 85% of the world's population is in some type of religion or another. There are as many as 4,200 documented, I guess, different religions in the world. Why are there so many divisions? You ever thought about it? Well, I can answer it in three words. Because of Him. Because of Him. Because of Christ. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 12 verse 51, the Lord Jesus said, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division." The religious division we see in the world is because of Him. He said so Himself. And our Lord Jesus went on to say there in Luke 12, "For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Why? Because of Him. Turn back a page or two to John chapter 6. In verse 28, we read, "Then said they," speaking of the Jews, "they said unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He, God, has sent. And they said therefore unto Him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" Now this is the sign that God showed our fathers, they're saying. Verse 31, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And what they're saying is here, what are you going to do for us? What sign are you going to show us? Verse 32, "Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." Then in verse 41 we read, "The Jews then murmured at Him, because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He saith, I came down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets," it's written in the Old Testament scriptures, "and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Now what the Lord is saying there is this. He's saying, in other words, you don't know who I am because God hasn't taught you. You don't know who I am because God hadn't revealed it to you. Therefore you will not come to me. Verse 50, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves. They became divided. Look down at verse 65. And he said, and he's saying this for the second time now, therefore said I unto you that no man can, no man has the ability to come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? There was a division because of him. Even among Christ's apostles, one, Judas, was a devil. Turn over a few pages to John chapter 8. Look at verse 56. In verse 53, the Jews asked the Lord, they said, are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And then in verse 56, Christ said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, well, you're not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am that I am. I'm God. Before there was ever a man on this earth, I was God. I am that I am. And look what they did, verse 59. Then took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. God's able to do that. Division always comes, and it was always because of what our Lord said. Look at John chapter 9, verse 16. It says here, this is where the Lord Jesus gave sight to that man who was born blind. And in this case, there was a division because Christ healed this man on the Sabbath day. And in verse 16, it says, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Well, why isn't he? Because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Now listen, he had just healed a man and gave a man sight that had been born blind. This man had never seen a day in his life. And the Lord Jesus gave him sight, and they're upset and they're divided because he did it on the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And that division was because of him. Yes, now look at John chapter 10, verse 14. The Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and I'm known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now verse 19. And there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. See that? And many of them said, he hath a devil, and he's mad. He's insane. Why do you listen to him? Why hear you him? Look at verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not, that the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now notice the first word in the next verse, 31. Then. It's when he said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them and said, Many good works have I showed thee from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, Well, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. He was God. Now, our text in John chapter 7, verse 33 was most definitely true in our Lord's day, and it's most definitely true in our day. So there was, and there still is, a division among the people because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the next time you ask yourself the question, why is there a church on every corner? Why are there so many denominations, so many religions? Because of him. Because of him. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Which group will you and I be in when the Lord divides his sheep from the goats? When the gospel is preached today in the power of the Holy Spirit, there are many who get angry. But they're not angry with me for preaching it, or whoever does. They're angry with God. In John chapter 15, verse 21, we're close. If you want to look there, go ahead. But the Lord Jesus said this. He said, But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Because, you know, anytime we see that word because, and our Lord's talking, we ought to pay close attention. We need to listen to what our Lord says, or when our Lord says, because. He said, because they know not God who sent me. We talked about that in the first hour this morning. And that's the issue. I'm not the issue, and you're not the issue. Christ is. There's a division because of him. Men do not hate you. We're not worthy of their time. They hate Christ. There was a division because of him. And as we've already seen, they didn't hate the Lord Jesus because of what he did. They hated him because of what he said, because of what he taught. The reason most preachers' messages are not offensive today is because they're not saying anything. Should men preach to offend? No, I'm not saying that. But when men do preach the truth, unbelievers are offended. In John 8:37, Christ told the Jews, You seek to kill me because my words have no place in you. In Luke chapter 4, verse 28, when the Lord stood up to preach in his hometown, you remember that story? The scriptures say, And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and they thrust him out of the city and led him onto the brow of the hill, that they might throw him head first off of it. In John chapter 6, when the Lord Jesus spoke of being the bread of life that we just read, many of his disciples said, This is a hard saying, who can hear it? And from that time, many of his disciples walked with him no more. It was what he said that offended them. They had no problem with the Lord when he was healing the sick. They didn't have any issues with Christ when he was feeding the hungry. But when he began to preach, when he began to tell men and women who he was, they said, He's got a devil. He's insane. He's crazy. You better not listen to him. And they took up stones to kill him. And beloved, our Lord said in John chapter 16, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you, think that he doth God's service, and these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. I know some of you here, looking at you in the face this morning, whom your family hates the gospel you believe. They literally hate it. And much of the time you feel like they hate you, but they don't. They just hate your God. They hate your Savior. Men and women didn't have any problem with Christ being the Creator. Men and women don't have any problem with Christ being the Savior and the Redeemer. They don't have a problem with the Lord Jesus being a prophet. They don't have any issues with Him being a good man, the Son of God, a messenger from God, a moral reformer, or even the Messiah. But they have a problem with Him being God. They have a problem with Him being their Lord. Oh, He can be their Savior, but not their Lord. He can't be the Lord of their salvation. No, that can't be. He can't save them apart from their will. He's not able to make them willing in the day of His power. He's not able to save them without their help, without them making a decision, without them exercising their will, without them giving Jesus their heart. They don't believe the salvation's of the Lord. They believe the salvation is a cooperative effort. Why, them and Jesus got a good thing going. Especially when they let go and let God. Now, if my salvation had been dependent on me letting Jesus into my heart, I'd never believed and I'd never been saved. Thank God that Christ busted the door down and would have not leave me alone. And I know there's some folks that have a problem with that. I'm telling you, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to this sinner. He didn't just knock on the door and say, "Won't you let me come in?" No, he wouldn't leave me alone. Thank God he didn't. He made me willing in the day of his power to believe and trust in him, because salvation is of the Lord. Period. That's what follows that in the scriptures. I know I've told you that many times. I just love to think about it. Salvation's of the Lord, period. Today, men and women have the idea that everybody loves Jesus, and most people claim that they do, don't they? But they don't love the Christ of the Bible. They love another Jesus. They love a Jesus of their imagination. Why, they imagine that Christ is altogether such a one as they are, but it's not so. It's not so. Why, he was hated, despised, and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's what he was when he walked on earth, and that's what he is still today. Everybody loves the Jesus that loves everybody. Everybody loves the Jesus that saves everybody. But they certainly don't love the Christ who has mercy on whom he'll have mercy. They don't love the Christ who has compassion on whom he determines to have compassion. And they certainly don't love the Christ who hardens whom he wills. God doesn't owe you and me grace. We live in such an entitled world today. You tell men and women that God has mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and the first thing out of their mouth, "Well, that's not fair." God doesn't owe us mercy. Christ doesn't owe us life. He doesn't owe us heaven. You know what he owes us? The wages of sin. That's all he owes us. God is and must be just. Now, he may be merciful, but that's at his discretion. God must punish sin. Now, he may show mercy, but he shows mercy on whom he will. I'm almost out of time, but I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 10. And Paul here is speaking to professing believers. That's who these epistles were written to. I think sometimes we forget that. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul, speaking to believers, said this. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." I want to throw this in. All believers are. They are. Verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you, and these are the contentions. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. These folks had their favorite preachers. We do too. Let's just be honest. We do. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, as long as we never put a man over Christ. Some said, I'm of Paul. I like Paul's preaching. And some said, oh, I tell you, he's good, but he ain't as good as Apollos. And some people said, have you heard Peter preach? And then others were pious, and they were going, well, I like Jesus. Look at what Paul asked in verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Turn over a couple chapters to chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 3. Any professing believer that is divided from another, Paul says, for ye are yet carnal, fleshly minded. For whereas there is among you, now look, envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Are you not being just fleshly minded? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? I'd like to ask some of these televangelist preachers that. Who are you? Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. And I have planted, I preached the gospel, Apollos watered by preaching the gospel, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, and neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. No division. They're one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. And according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the sure foundation. He's the solid rock on which we build. There are no divisions among God's people. You know why? Because of Him. Because of Him. God's people, like the Apostle Paul, are determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the issue. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is He? Are you trusting in Him? Are you relying upon Him? Are you depending upon Him to put your sin away and give you His perfect righteousness, which God is the only thing that God will accept? It must be perfect to be accepted. There's only one way a sinner can be saved. Just one. Why all the churches? Why all the denominations? Why all the different beliefs? Why all the divisions? God in the flesh died the just for the unjust, that He might bring His people to God. Amen. That's a simple message. Impossible to believe apart from God's mercy and grace. That He might bring us to God. If we're going to be brought to God, He's going to have to bring us. There are no divisions in that message. None. Oh, may God be pleased to see to it that our faith does not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen.